Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again.
Good evening, guys. It's Tony again with your Wednesday evening glass of lemonade. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like God wasn't there or God wasn't near? I'm sure we probably have all been in that situation, and maybe we're in that situation now with all of the coronavirus craziness going on, that we feel like maybe we're further away from God than we should be. Well, the children of Israel were in a war in 1 Kings chapter 20 with the children of Aram, the Syrian army. And the Syrian army makes a drastic mistake in assuming that God was only in the hills but was not in the valleys. And I want us to understand that God is there all the time. And I want to examine this particular context for just a few moments with you tonight.
Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again.
Good evening, guys. It's Tony again. I have appreciated all of the positive feedback that I've gotten on this idea that I had, and hopefully it will continue to be a source of encouragement to you as we move forward in this process that has kind of been unprecedented and, you know, keeps us from being at services as often as we would normally be and as often as we would like. I mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 20, the children of Aram, or the Syrians, are battling against Israel. And I encourage you to go through, if you have some time tonight, and just go ahead and read the context of 1 Kings chapter 20. I'm going to pull out just a couple of verses here and maybe tell some of the story. But as you're looking through 1 Kings, you'll find in verse 23, after the army of Aram, led by King Ben-Hadad, after they have lost this battle, they're quoted as saying in verse 23, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we, but let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And you continue to read through that context, and really God is frustrated with them and considers it an insult that they believe that God is only there in the hills, but that if they, you know, come to the valleys, that God is not going to be there. And even in verse 27, notice what the description of the army of Israel and the army of Aram says. The sons of Israel were mustered and were provisioned and went to meet them. And the sons of Israel camped before them like two little flocks of goats. But the Arameans filled the country. So, you know, again, this contrast that we see here where the children of Israel are likened to two little flocks of goats, and the Syrian army is said to have filled the country. You know, there's this drastic difference here. And when they go into battle again, we find out again that Syria is put down to the point that God allows the children of Israel to slay 100,000 men in this one day, in this one battle. Syria quickly finds out that God certainly is a God of the hills and of the valleys. And so, you know, we think about the type of battle that we're talking about, you know, in today's warfare, might be a little easier to kill in bulk, right? In 100,000 men, we talk about weapons of mass destruction. And those are the kind of things that you're talking about, that you can kill so many people very quickly. But, you know, think about the warfare that was happening back then is very personal. It's hand to hand. You know, you're not going to kill very often from a distance. Certainly they had bows and things like that, but most of the battle that took place was, you know, very man on man, and, you know, took place with swords and things like that. And so, you know, God was letting the Syrians know that he certainly was there. I think sometimes we too insult God by saying he's a God only of the hills, right? Only of times when, you know, things are going really well in my life, God is there. But when we get to a valley in our lives, we somehow are quick to blame God. But yet when we're there at the hills, we don't often, and I'll use air quotes here, but you won't be able to see them. We don't often blame God when things are going well in our lives. You know, we only want to blame him when things are going poorly or not the way that we would like them to. And yet we don't want to blame him for the good. I think Job gives us probably the best example of the attitude that we should have in this. In Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, when his wife says to him, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. I doubt that Job's wife would have told Job to curse God and die while their children were still alive, while all of their possessions were still, you know, there. You know, the animals, the homes, everything that they had was still there and their life was thriving. She never would have told Job, her husband, to curse God and die. It was when things got tough that she decided to use that phrase, "God is done with us, let's be done with him." And I just want us to close by recognizing that God has promised us two things. One of those things is not that your life will be free of pain and suffering, but God has promised us in James 1 and verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." God is not going to tempt you. When these bad things are going on and happening in our life, that is not God tempting us. He will not tempt us. He will allow us to be tested for sure. But God himself will not tempt us with evil. He can't tempt us with evil. And the second thing is from 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you will be able to bear it. He will provide a way of escape for us. So first and foremost, God will not tempt us. And secondly, when we are tempted, he will provide a way for us to get through that temptation. I encourage you again, as this time in our lives is maybe very difficult and we don't like to be isolated and we don't like to be at home, but yet we find ourselves there, that again, this is not God tempting us. God does not do that. And God will keep us from being discouraged if we will allow him to do that. And I encourage you to dig into God's word even more while we're home and while we're separated and while we're isolated, to grow closer to one another and grow closer to God.
There's a stirring.